This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Dan and I are just back from basking briefly in Hawaii and conspiring with Hawaii's signature secular activists, Mitch Kale and Holly Huber. And so we're back from a secular paradise into this land of ice and snow.
All rested up from our vacation. I usually start the show by saying, I am Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves, but now atheist of the Hawaii beach waves. Last week at this time, Sabrina and I were out, when Annie Laurie, we were out swimming in the ocean, and I was doing handstands on the ocean floor underwater. Sabrina and I actually swam with dolphins while Sabrina waited, and they were totally godless dolphins that we were talking with, and we got to touch them. It was really amazing to commune, to have a true fellowship with our brothers and sisters of the ocean, the dolphins. This show today is January 19th, 2013. Free Thought Radio is broadcast from Madison, Wisconsin. You might also be listening to us. We broadcast in other cities around the country. You might be hearing us in California, in Michigan, in New York, in the Ithaca area, or in Missouri.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is the nation's largest association of atheists, agnostics, secularists, freethinkers is the umbrella term that we like to use, which means the use of reason informing your opinion about religion. And most of those people are non-religious. And we also work to keep religion out of government, and we've grown from the original two founders. That would be myself and my mother. We had a third elderly founder, John Sontag, join us shortly after that in 1976. We've grown from those two to over 19,500 members in North America. And we have grown from an all-volunteer staff to now 13 staff members. And we want to welcome our new Director of Operations, Lisa Strand, whom we enticed away from being the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Library Association. And she's just new and going to help our very growing office. And we also now have four staff attorneys, and we've had a change, and we need to welcome
Liz Cavell
has joined our staff, and say goodbye to Stephanie Schmidt. And so there's a lot going on, and our building expansion in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. We are getting city approval, and in the next year and a half, we hope to have more room for our growing staff.
So Free Thought is literally growing. Today, we're going to talk about some of that, some of the reasons why we're growing, and some of the reasons why we need to have an organization that fights to protect the constitutional principle of state church separation. Today, we're going to talk about some FFRF victories and some legal challenges.
And in the second half of the show, we're going to be very excited to welcome back Robin Morgan, who is one of our very favorites. She's a feminist laureate. She is one of FFRF's formal Free Thought heroines. She's author of the classic Sisterhood is Powerful anthology. She's been associated with Ms. Magazine from the beginning and is still a consulting editor for Ms. And she now has a national CBS radio show. And she was kind enough to have me on as a guest recently. It's connected with the Women's Media Center Live, and we'll learn more about that. And also talk with Robin Morgan, kind of look at the year in review in terms of women and how we fared with religion last year, both good and bad.
Do you remember that Robin was on our very second radio show back in May of 2006? a Free Thought Radio.
It'd be very nice to speak with her again.
We talked with her about her book that came out that year, Fighting Words, a Toolkit for Combating the Religious Right.
And to turn to state church news, the nativity scene is over, thank goodness. But that doesn't mean that we at FFRF are any less busy with state church violations, ranging from fighting government prayer, Ten Commandments. We just sent off a strongly worded letter to the Washington State Legislature, the Senate, over a most inappropriate opening prayer for their session about a week ago, which was completely homophobic by a Calvary minister, and talking about Jesus and talking against gay marriage, which of course just was passed by referendum, trying to overturn the will of the people and being given a podium, an inappropriate podium by the state of Washington in which to do that. And it appeared that they approved his words. So we really are urging them to drop government prayer, which is so inappropriate, unnecessary, and divisive.
And you know, Washington State has been pretty good on many state church issues. Remember the nativity fracas a couple years ago where they agreed with us that a nativity scene should not be in the state inside the
Well,
state
they agreed with
building.
Us once they realized that we were going to put up our sign,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but they agreed, and they were very friendly toward us and have been all along. So.
And of course, in that letter, we pointed out that 25% of the population and growing identifies as non-religious in the state of Washington. So that's a lot of people to exclude in a prayer, and 30% are not Christian. So we'll see what happens with that letter.
Now, here's an interesting issue in Ohio. When I was a kid growing up in church, I saw all over the place this famous painting of Jesus. It's called The Head of Christ, and I'm sure most of you would know. It's probably the most famous image of Jesus ever, except for the Last Supper, maybe. It was painted by a man named Warner Salmon in 1940, and it's since been everywhere. I saw it in churches. There's a photograph of my mom and dad getting married with that painting in the background. It's this sort of brown tone. There's sort of this brown tone glowing image of
this
Christ.
White Jesus with a brown beard, right?
Yeah,
we've all seen that semi-profile.
And it was published and printed by a religious publisher who affiliated with the Gospel Trumpet Company. More than 500 million copies of that picture have been sold all over the world. And it's been identified as their primarily devotional religious image.
And it is officially titled Head of Christ.
The Head of Christ.
So that is a very clear sectarian devotional painting. There can't be any doubt that that does not belong in a public school, correct?
Well, exactly. But guess what happened? Somebody brought it to our attention that painting, a large painting of that painting, has been hanging since 1947 in the Jackson Middle School in Jackson, Ohio. So when it came to our attention, FFRF complained.
Yeah, Rebecca Markert wrote, our staff attorney, our first staff attorney, our senior staff attorney, wrote a letter of complaint and pointing out that there's been a lot of litigation on this. There's been litigation in the Sixth Circuit, which is where Ohio is. There's been litigation in the state of New York. This has come up in the past where people have inappropriately put these in public schools, and they have been taken down. And we got complaints by no less than 3 families in the area with children in the schools who are very upset about it. And the school at this point is refusing to back down, to take down the paintings. And I think we have here a clip from TV coverage, WBNS 10 TV News out of Columbus, Ohio, about the Jackson Jesus.
300 people packed a school board meeting tonight to voice their opinions about a picture of Jesus hanging in a middle school hallway. It's been there since 1947, but this week, a group told Jackson City school administrators that picture was unconstitutional.
The meeting was at times tense. At one point, some parents were booing others, but one student we spoke with tonight said he just wants the controversy to be over.
Faith is a big part of this community. We rely on each other. We rely on God.
Every day in school, I remember it being there, and it was just a motivation.
But last week, critics from the Freedom From Religion Foundation warned the district that displaying the painting in a public school is unconstitutional.
They want their rights. What about our rights?
Tonight, nearly 300 parents and community leaders voiced their displeasure over the possibility the Jesus painting would be removed.
Let's see a hand vote of those who want it stayed.
When this former student voiced her opposition to the idea,
it is still violating the United States Constitution and must be removed immediately.
She was booed. After nearly 40 minutes of public comment, the superintendent announced the district's decision.
And I believe with the support of the Board of Education that the picture will stay.
The superintendent says if the group decides to sue, he will worry about the lawsuit then. In Jackson County, Jason Frazier, 10 TV News.
Now, when you listen to that and put yourself in the position of this one or two lone people braving the wrath of 300 people in a public meeting with the boos and the cheers for religion in the school, you'd think we were back in the 1920s and the Scopes trial or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and it's not like we're telling them they can't believe and they can't go to church and they can't hang that picture in their own churches, but they probably have that picture in their own churches.
You know, if we were going into a church and saying, you can't put up a painting of Jesus in your Sunday school area, you would expect that kind of outrage. Of course, that would be totally inappropriate. We have freedom of religion. But for them to not see the distinction between their personal viewpoint and the fact that the school must honor the freedom of conscience of students and children and not tell them that they're supposed to be worshiping Jesus. It's hard to credit that there could be that kind of ignorance.
One of the kids at the school said, well, if somebody doesn't like that Jesus painting, they don't have to go through that hallway. They can just go a different way.
They don't have to go to that school, I thought you were going to say, which is what we hear a lot. We don't need to live in this country if we support the U.S. Constitution. So we'll keep you posted on what happens with that controversy.
And then another school controversy coming up?
Well, last June, Rebecca Market sent a letter of complaint to a New York school where there happened to be a science teacher pushing religion in the classroom. And the school acted very quickly and properly, which is always very wonderful to witness. And in September, they asked the teacher to stop.
This science teacher had pictures of the three crosses on Gethsemane. She had Bible verses on the wall from the Psalms, and then she had a prominent Bible verse from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 16:13, which says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity." So the school did the right thing. The school sent a memo to the teacher saying, you can't do that. You can't mix religion and government. But guess what happened? Guess a religious right group contacted the teacher, and the teacher sued the school. So here's a brief story about this out of WKBW7 out of Buffalo, New York.
Channel 7's Lucia Lawley in Cheektowaga with a story that's all new, 11 tonight.
Lawyers for the American Freedom Law Center filed a civil rights lawsuit in federal court on behalf of Joelle Silver, a high school science teacher. The Cheektowaga Central School District was reacting to a student's complaint they received through the Freedom From Religion Foundation. The foundation letter threatened their own lawsuit if the teacher did not remove religious materials from her classroom.
We handed over to our school attorney, who in turn went to our insurance companies. Their counsel went to a constitutional expert, basically came back to us and said that we feel it's best that you need to take a certain action.
That action was a counseling letter ordering Silver to remove the religious items from her classroom.
The Supreme Court has long said that neither teachers nor students shed their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate. She's a devout Christian. She doesn't cease being a Christian because she works for the government.
We were told by legal advice that these things were a violation of church and state, and as a public entity and as public officials, we have to comply with the law. We have a duty, you know, to correct.
Silver continues to teach high school science. In Cheektowaga, Lou Chilali, Channel 7, Eyewitness News.
In that city is Cheektowaga, Cheektowaga. And interesting.
So here we have the school doing the right thing, getting punished by these harassing Christian right legal groups, which are not going to win on this.
You know, Rebecca showed me a little bit of their complaint, the teacher's complaint. In her arguments, she said, are really silly. She's saying things like, the school is trying to tell me I can't be a Christian, you know, because she can't advertise her views in the public high school science classroom. So we'll be watching this issue.
Now, after the break, we'll interview Robin. Well, we'll interview her on the second half of Free Thought Radio, Robin Morgan. We're going to also celebrate the 40th anniversary of the decision Roe versus Wade by the U.S. Supreme Court handed down January 22nd, 1973, a landmark decision for women's rights that we are still actually having to shore up.
I'm Dan Barker here with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio. Welcome back to Radio As Godless as Our Constitution. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio. Dan and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio. And now we are celebrating the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade, handed down January 22nd, 1973. And I will always remember the moment I learned. I was actually a sleepyhead. I was sleeping late in bed. I think it was 10 or so in the morning. And my mother came bursting into the room with ecstatic smiles, and we won, Roe versus Wade was handed down. And what a moment. You know, it meant all of our struggles, we hoped, around the country to end laws that were criminalizing abortion were over with, because this was a state-by-state fight. We had won the fight in parts of Wisconsin, for example, at Colorado, New York, but it was a huge problem, this was a huge step for womankind.
And a loss for the religious right as well, who oppose abortion.
So let us celebrate the 40th anniversary of Roe versus Wade by playing my mother's favorite feminist anthem, also in honor of Robin Morgan, very traditional Bread and Roses. And this is a beautiful rendition by my co-host, Dan Barker.
This song commemorates a 1912 mill workers' strike, which was led by feminists. As we go marching, marching in the beauty of the day, a million darkened kitchens, a thousand mill lofts gray, are touched with all the radiance that a sudden sun discloses. For the people here are singing Bread and Roses, Bread and Roses. As we go marching, marching, we battle too for men, for they are in the struggle, and together we shall win. Our day shall not be sweated from birth until life closes. Hearts starve as well as bodies. Give us bread, but give us roses. As we go marching, marching, unnumbered women dead go crying through our singing their ancient call for bread. Small art and love and beauty their trudging spirits knew. Yes, it is bread we fight for, but we fight for roses too. As we go marching, marching, we're standing proud and tall. The rising of the women means the rising of us all. No more the drudge or idler, 10 that toil where one reposes, but a sharing of life's glories, bread and roses. Bread and roses, bread and roses.
was Bread and Roses, sung by Dan Barker. We're listening now to Brother Dave Brubeck. Farewell to Dave. And coming up, we'll be talking with another landmark feminist, Robin Morgan, and talk about the plight of women globally under the siege of religion, and also what Robin Morgan is doing about it.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie, and we have with us on the phone from New York, Robin Morgan. We're delighted to have her back. It's been way too long since she's been on Free Thought Radio.
You know, she was on our very second show back in 2006.
Really? Was
yes.
that the second show?
Yeah.
You.
Wow, I'm an old timer. More ways than one. I'm so glad to be back. I think you people are just the best.
Well, Robin, everybody knows who you are, but we want to talk about a little bit about what you've done in the past and what you're doing now. And so I'm going to just remind people that you're the one who edited that classic anthology, Sisterhood is Powerful. Changed so many lives. I remember reading it myself.
Oh, wow.
Sisterhood is global. Sisterhood is forever, the women's anthology. And your wonderful autobiography, Robin, called Saturday's Child, a memoir, talking about partly about being a child actress. It's just fascinating.
This is true.
And novels and poetry. And we had you on after your novel came out, Inquisition, The Burning, about the Inquisition, The Burning Time.
Right. That's right, yeah.
And I noticed that now it's been, since then it's been optioned.
Yes, it's been optioned for a film. I'm not holding my breath since 90% of books that are optioned for the movies never make it to the screen, but it's very nice to have the interest anyway. Because it's a historical novel. It was based on the actual trial for heresy, of course, of 13 people in the 14th century when the Catholic Church decided to bring Ireland to heel. So I had a lot of fun writing it, and
it's been optioned by Ashley Judd.
Yes,
mm-hmm. So that's fun.
Well, that's an endorsement, then, isn't it?
I guess so. But we'll see if it ever makes it to screen. But it's a fun idea. And then I worked with you. You were so enormously helpful. The Foundation, Freedom from Religion Foundation, was so. And the two of you, excuse me, something seems to have died in my throat and is lying there. It'll be a husky, sexy voice today. But when I was compiling Fighting Words, the small book that was a toolkit for combating the religious right, I showed it to you in manuscript, and you made a number of incredibly helpful suggestions, and I'm indebted to you for that to this day. And that little book has gone off and has a whole life of its own. You'll be glad to know.
Well, it does have a life of its own because it's still a very popular seller on FFRF's book list. We purchase and resell books.
Yes,
and
I know you do.
And it's a regular seller.
Glad. You know, I had envisioned it as an inexpensive, small, fit in your purse or your pocket or your backpack. Arguing tool, you know, just to be able to sort of verbal karate, as it were, and to wield it and say, you know, when you're in conversations or arguments with people. Well, actually, in the country, no, the framers were deists, a couple of them, but they were atheists and agnostics, and most of all secularists. So, in a period of time when the separation of church and state is yet again challenged, I wanted it to be out in time for the elections, which we managed, the first Barack Obama campaign, and to be to be a tool in people's hands, which is the way they've used it, to my delight.
Yeah, it's still going strong through the last campaign. And the subtitle is A Toolkit for Combating the Religious Right. And then, of course, your association long time with Ms., and you are still a consulting editor with Ms., are
you? I am. Yes, it's a schizophrenic sort of life. I wear many, many different hats.
Well, and your energy is so commendable, because now you have started, I think, with some other famous people, the Women's Media Center. And
yeah, about 7 years ago, six, 7 years ago, Jane Fonda, Gloria Steinem, and I, the three Norns, as we call ourselves, co-founded the Women's Media Center because we were, quite frankly, just tired of yelling back at our TV sets. And the state of media, which, after all, is how the population gets its information, was so abysmal regarding sexism and racism and religionism and all, you know, name your ism, that we waded in. We felt we had to do something. Now, it's 7 years later, flash forward, we have a rapid response system. We have a training program, Progressive Women's Voices, that trains activists in media skills. We do a lot of work with girls as well as with women and girls' rights. There's just many, many programs, and people can go to the website, which is simply womensmediacenter.com, and center spelled the American way, C-E-N-T-E-R, womensmediacenter.com. And we now have a radio program, of which it appears I am the vision and the host behind it, called Women's Media Center Live. And that is on CBS Radio in the Mid-Atlantic region in Washington, D.C. area. It's going to be syndicated at some point in the next 2 or 3 months, but I don't fully know the stations yet. But it's also accessible both nationally and internationally on the web at wmclive.com.
So CBS, you've kind of come like full circle, haven't you? Because when you were a child actress, weren't you working with CBS?
I was, Dan. The irony of it all. Huh. Yes.
No, just for our listeners who might not remember that, can you remind us what you were?
I was on television and I was on radio, and it was CBS, and so I came back home, it would appear. But the thing that touches me most is that because of the web and the new technology, people not only all over the country can access the show and podcasts of previous shows, but all over the world, and we have a big international audience now. And we have been pushing the envelope, on religionists and on secularism and on just a whole lot of stuff.
Now, before we get into all that good detail, I have to backpedal. You say you, Gloria Steinem, and Jane Fonda call yourself the three, what was that, Norns?
The Norns, yes, you know, N-O-R-N-S, or some people said the three Graces. We feel that we're more like the three Norns. Isn't it Teutonic mythology?
Oh.
And they were the keepers of fate. And they one spun the thread of existence, and one wove it, and one cut it. So they were, or the three witches in Macbeth, however you want to phrase it. But the Women's Media Center is our baby, and we're very proud of it, I must say. It's come an amazing span and had an amazing effect in only 7 years.
Great that you're socking it to the religious right.
Now, the radio show, Women's Media Center Live, with you as the host, just began last summer, right?
That's right, in August, and has been growing exponentially ever since. I'm very proud to say that Annie Laurie was a guest, and a wonderful guest, for our so-called holiday show, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, all that stuff.
I was proud to be on it.
I almost said a different word, but all that stuff. We did a solstice show instead. And on the solstice show, there was a Wiccan high priestess. I'm forgetting now. Certainly there was Annie Laurie as holding up the secular and atheist front. And I can't remember who the third person was. It wasn't the one where we had the wonderful, crazy, radical rabbi. Oh, I know. We had a recovering a recovering evangelical. Jennifer Crumpton, who is a raging feminist and is absolutely fantastic. So that was our way of getting around the holiday show, and people seem to have loved it. I have come out more, not that I've ever been in, but I've come out more on the show as an atheist, agnostic, Wiccan, free-thinking, anti-religionist than ever before, because more people, I think, access the web and radio than necessarily do books. There's 20 books, and they have their own audience, but it seems somehow that the news is just breaking on the world, although I've been saying it for quite some time. So I feel all the more glad I'm in touch with you two and the foundation.
Now, you know how I feel. I mean, I think we feel exactly the same way, that women need our own media and
of
how
course.
Essential it is. So what's some of the philosophy or the purposes behind the radio show?
Well, it's like I think of it like a portal into an alternate reality, Annie Laurie, because there's almost no story. First of all, I mean, the statistics on who controls media are hair-raising. And, of course, it's mostly pale males. It's all pale males, and they're not pale males like Dan either. That's one thing. The news that we get is totally skewed, not only in terms of women, but in terms of men of color, all women and men of color. But also, it's the substance, it's the values of the news itself. So there's two or three aspects. One is to raise the profile of women in media, and the other is to get the stories covered that don't get covered, or get the stories that are covered with a different perspective, which happens merely to represent more than half of humanity. And that's why I call it an alternate reality. So we take a subject and you suddenly see it through a different lens, or rather taking off the blinders that patriarchy has put on.
Well, before we go into, I think we want to talk a little bit about the status of women right now at the end of the year, beginning of New Year. But Dan, did you have a remark on that pale face?
Well, because my dad's an American Indian, I'm sort of a cream and sugar male, not a pale male. Well, after our Hawaiian vacation, you can't see it on the radio, but I do have a bit of a tan today. So.
Okay, well, then you're worthy of your hair.
I'm worthy. Okay.
For our Columbus Day show, we had all Native American guests, and we renamed it Original People's Day.
Ah.
We're trying to turn everything sort of inside out, upside down. That's the alternate reality.
Well, we are going to have to take a break, and we'll be back to talk more about Robin's take on the status of women. We're talking with the great Robin Morgan. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. We'll be right back with more Radio as Godless as Our Constitution.
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
We're back. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie, and we are talking with feminist laureate Robin Morgan, who is radio host of the new Women's Media Center Live radio show being played on the Eastern Seaboard via CBS. And Robin, you are still the consulting editor for Global Issues for Ms. Magazine.
I am.
And we wanted to talk about some of those, really wrap it up really quickly, some of these global issues.
I'll try and do it around the world in 80 seconds. I think here in the U.S., we've survived much of the war on women from the far right, including the religious right. But they don't give up easily, and they're not finished yet. But the re-election of Barack Obama, even with flaws, was very good news. But we're going to have to fight still to keep Roe v. Wade, and on issues of reproductive rights in particular, the religionists are up and moving. both U.S. and internationally, more and more issues of violence against women have come to the fore. The recent horrific gang rape and murder in India.
Yes.
So many all over the place. And fortunately, an interesting thing, that more men are coming on board in the demonstrations and the marches, realizing that violence against women is, in fact, a human rights violation. Back to the U.S., by the way, because it's a gendered issue that many people don't realize, guns and gun control is a women's issue. Of course, I say that all issues are women's issues because we're the majority of the population in the states and of the human species. But since most guns, 99% of guns are purchased and used by men who feel safer if a gun's in the household, and disproportionately, the number of women in this country alone who die by gun violence is huge, is almost the same amount. Not, there are some women gun owners, but nothing like men. Women feel less safe if there's a gun in the house. So more women die from gun violence in this country than soldiers die in combat in a year.
Really?
It's a feminist issue, another feminist issue. So those are just some of the things that are going on. It irritates us to have to still be defending reproductive rights as a basic right because again, of the assaults. But we on the war on women. But we do have to defend it. And most of the people who are the big organizations who are anti-abortion are also, people have to realize, anti-access to contraception. So it still is all of a piece. They still want women barefoot and pregnant and back in the kitchen. But as you may have noticed, we ain't going there. And yes, the good news is that the women's movement is alive and well and bigger and stronger than ever and global.
That was 160 seconds.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, that was very well. Now, and I did want to put in a plug, since I guess we were gone for some of the shows that aired earlier, about the wonderful news out of the Philippines that they finally enacted that contraceptive law over the objections of the Catholic Church. So we do see some defeats, both in this country and globally, for the Roman Catholic attempt to keep women
subjected. Yes, it was a huge defeat. There's a lot of good news. I mean, not least of the fact that 20% of Americans now identify as not being religious.
That's
and
huge.
And higher statistics among the young. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think there's hope for the species.
Now, I wondered what your take was on what's going on in Egypt and women. I mean, it looks like there's some pushback, some concern about the constitution that they were promoting being Sharia.
I mean, I was talking recently with Mona El Tahawi, who is a wonderful Egyptian journalist and feminist activist, and it's so depressing because, you know, their choice is between a really authoritarian army on the one hand, and then the Muslim Brotherhood on the other hand.
Yeah. What a
and
choice!
And it's a hell of a bad choice. So that the feminist movement and the students and the young and the progressives and the secularists are this third thing that keeps trying to still have a democratic government. I think it's going to be a long time and a lot of spasms before that comes to pass, and nobody really knows what will happen. But there are very good people who are trying very hard and deserve support.
Gives new meaning to the phrase, let my people go. Out
Doesn't
of Egypt.
It ever?
Yeah.
And the similar thing is going on in Pakistan right now. There's a soft coup going on, even as we speak. And again, you're in this strange situation. The feminists say, well, you know, what do we do? I mean, to stave off the fundamentalists, the only refuge we have is the army. And it's so bizarre.
Well, I think I'd choose the army over the fundamentalists.
I would too, because at least they're secularists. Mm-hmm. They claim lip service to democratic values, and because you can vaguely share a modern frame of reference with them, at least you can talk, but it still feels bizarre to be on the side of the army.
And of course we saw the little girl, and now, oh, I'm going to forget her name, released from Great Britain, going home to Pakistan, the school girl.
Yes.
Attempts on her life because she was promoting educational opportunity for girls in Pakistan.
That's right. Yeah.
Boy, is that depressing.
Yeah, where they shot her in the face.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite frightening. And you know, I'm all for the United States leading Afghanistan, where every foreign power has always gone down to defeat for centuries. On the other hand, what will happen to women and girls? Because for decades before 9/11, we, that is the women's movement internationally, were begging the U.S. and the West to intervene because it was gender apartheid. It was gender, it was femicide, and they wouldn't. And then suddenly, of course, after 9/11, they became very concerned about Afghanistan, invaded, and then claimed that they were doing they were there to help save women. So the Taliban will come back.
Yeah, the women are not safe.
No, women are decidedly not safe. Wherever there is Taliban, American Taliban here, calling themselves Christian, or Taliban in Afghanistan or anywhere else.
Well, we want to thank you so much, Robin, for forging ahead with Women's Media Center Live. It's your new radio program. Can you repeat more about how we can all access this?
Yes, the broadcast streams on WMCLive.com, and you can also access podcasts there for free of all our previous shows, including the one where Annie Laurie is a guest.
And
WMCLive.com.
And this air, it broadcasts also on Saturdays, correct?
Yes, it streams live on Saturdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Time from that site.
So that doesn't interfere with us. We're 11 o'clock Central on Saturdays.
Perfect. We're in good tandem.
Well, thank you so much, Robin, for joining us, Robin Morgan, and tune in her show.
I know you don't believe in the spirit, but it sounds like the spirit of Elizabeth Cady Stanton when you talk, fighting for women's rights.
Oh, thank you, Dan. That's quite a lovely compliment.
You can hear more about our show at ffrf.org/radio.
Contact FFRF. Join us at ffrf.org. And you can call for more information at 1-800-335-4021. Support our broadcast, our litigation, and all our work to keep religion out of government. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.